honest with you, I only got 1 hour of sleep, but fuck it. I'm going to man up and do this fucking podcast because I got my boy Chunky Chan on the Long Beach Social Experiment podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. We've been talking for a while. We've been talking about the scheduling. We're both busy, man, but finally we made it. And I want to tell my story, how we started, how I started.
Yeah, well, first things first, there was a person that passed away today.
Yes. Rest in peace to the guy that was in the Raiders and also in the legendary movies of Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore, and the Apollo Creed movie for sure. Rest in peace. That guy was I heard he was a really good player back in the day. I saw his videos and he was really good, and then he went to acting.
Yeah.
It was a
His name was Carl's Weathers.
And Carl Weathers.
He was in the movie Action Jackson.
Predator.
Yes, fucking Predator, dog. Good fuck. Even though he got his arm fucking blown off, we still fucking love you.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, I wish Van Damme was that Predator guy, though. That would have been funny as shit.
yo. But I'm just saying, rest in peace to him. He was a good actor. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I have to say about Carl Weathers where he has that famous line in Happy Gilmore, "It's all in the hips.
It's all in the hips. You know what made me laugh? You know that coach scene? He's like, "Hey, I got the alligator." He opens it up. He falls. And the guy's like this, dude. He was so useless.
That golfer? That was Lee Trevino. He used to have that salsa commercial.
That's crazy, dude. Oh, my God. That scene made me laugh, dude. The guy's just like, hands up. He's like, "He didn't make it." I'm like, "Bro, what are you doing?
Oh, man, I know. Hey, but let's get into it. I know you and I, we've been chatting for a while. Mm-hmm. We follow each other. Sometimes we have those late night chats. But, man, I really wanted to get you on my podcast. I see what you're doing. You're getting out there. I mean, you have a story. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into it, man. You were born and raised in California?
I was born in Arizona. I was born and kind of raised in Arizona, but I grew up crossing borders between Mexico and California because I just spent time in summers with my grandma. I really love Mexicali so much. I always love coming back all the time to talk to my grandpa, you know, and my grandma. They taught me Spanish. Like, that's how I learned Spanish, bro, by literally going to summers there. I learned my Spanish from there. And also, even in California, there is, dude, in Calexico, all my aunts are right there. That's where my family is from. We're from Calexico. When you pass the border, it's Calexico. I'm from Imperial Valley.
So it's right there by Imperial.
Yeah, it's by Imperial Valley. That's why I showed you that sign, because that's in Calexico. That sign, that California, welcome to California, it's literally right there by the border, right there. And, you know, I miss those times, bro. I miss being over there a lot. I love Imperial Valley. I love Calexico. I love Mexicali. Again, I've seen everything crossing borders my whole life. So, you know, like, I've seen a lot of shit going on crossing borders. I used to get racial profiled all the time, dude, all the time. That's how it is, bro. They didn't believe me. I'm from Arizona. They didn't believe me. I go to these elementary schools, middle schools, or high schools. You know, they didn't believe I had to show them proof. They had to look it up. It was that bad to look up my school. It was at that point, they had to look it up themselves. If it was a real
school.
It's racist, man. The borders are racist, bro. Like, they don't play around.
Yeah, how is it now with the borders now? I mean, they're just people coming in left and right from California, Texas, and Arizona.
Well, there's tents. So on the border, last time I seen, there is a lot more tents that I used to see, because people used to live in those, tents by the line. Like, you know, there's a line crossing the border.
Yeah.
Like, so there's tents in the side. There's tents or there's soldiers walking around. And dude, like, there is no joke. Like, there is so much shit going on, and in that border, like, everybody's selling their CDs, mixtapes, or they would be selling, illegal movies, like recording movies, and like that came out in theaters. Like, they always do that, man. Like, they always sell their tapes, and also they try to clean your windows. You know, I give them money, dude, because, you know, they don't know about that. You know, they don't know how it is. You know, they struggled. You know what I mean? Like, I give them money because I feel bad, you know?
Yeah, times are getting hard right now. Like, the economy right now, the civil war. I mean, there's sometimes, in a way, Chunky, man. I try not to look at social media because it can really just suck up the energy.
Exactly, dude. It's no joke, bro. Like, crossing a border is no joke. I see, like, when you cross the border to go into Mexico, the projects is really bad. Like, there's abandoned buildings everywhere. You can walk through it and you can see buildings breaking down. It was bad, dude. It was real bad. You would have to cross the Mexicali. If you go straight down, you'll see what I'm talking about. You have to go to the Imperial Valley way, go to El Centro or go to Calexico, cross right there, man. That shit is no joke. The malls is really, obviously they can't, I'm not saying they can make a richer mall, but it's one of those malls that they always have this and that. Like, they have insurance. Every insurance spot you get, it's right there, every corner, because, you know, they don't have that much money over there. It was one of those, you have to have money. All right. You don't have that much money over there.
Yeah, everything's all changing in California. Like, in Oakland, I have a lot of family that live in that area, and they were telling me, like, "Yo, Mega Man, they closed out In and Out, they closed down this, they closed down that." It's like right now, it's just all the businesses, small businesses, are closing down, which means it's like, no, okay, we might be looking at, like, there's no laws, there's no order and stuff. I mean, it could turn into ghost cities where. Back in the day, you know, when I was living up north, you know, we would love to go to San Francisco. That was our, like, getaway. And now it's not like that no more. It's really bad. And who is to blame? You know, Gavin Newsom, the drugs, what's going on, the Democrats. I mean, it's really messing up the country. Now we see it. But what can we do? It's like, to the point now, I was talking to Cindy, and, you know, we might have to get some arms, you know, because, you know, the streets ain't safe over here in Long Beach, or like where I'm at now, and it's active now.
You know, it's crazy, dude. Like, Mexicali in the streets is worse than California, dude. I'm gonna tell you why. It's because I remember when I was 8 years old walking by myself in the ghettos right there, like going to a store, dude. No joke. There's military people coming through, and dude, these guys make kids piss their pants. They aim the machine gun pointing at them, bro. And I'm like, nah, bro, that's not fucking cool, dude. They started laughing at me, ha, 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 like, and leave. It was fucked up. It was that fucked up over there, dude. They don't give a fuck about you, dude.
I kind of noticed about that, yeah. Because I think, like, now they're having a problem with where a lot of cartels are coming in, where if the borders are open, you have cartels coming in, you have terrorists coming in, Hamas, you have, like, a lot of things are going to happen. So it's more like, who is to blame? And it's something where now you see in TV that Texas wants to be its own state. And now we're hearing talks that Russia said, hey, you say you want to be your own state, you want to be we'll help you. We'll give you anything you want, Texas. It's like, if you want to part ways, you know, and have your own state, because back in the day, Texas was their own country back in the day. Mm-hmm. And all, but look what's going on. There's movies with Civil War and all that stuff. I'm telling you, man, like, 2024, it's like every year it gets worse and worse.
It does, dude. And I feel so bad for those kids, man. I understand, because my whole life, bro, my dad was from Calexico, and he gave me a better life to live in the suburbs, to make so much. These, my mom and my dad, I'm very grateful for having me a better life, because those guys didn't want to see how they grew up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How they were growing up. And, you know, my dad was, you know, playing baseball here and there. And, you know, it was one of those things that I had to, you know, be better than them, you know, because he could have been, would have, should have. You know, he doesn't want me to be a could have, would have, should have. I am going to be that. I manifesting one day, I'm going to be a good producer, or this and that. Or I'm going to be a good soccer player. I used to play soccer, and I had to stop because I want to make music. You know what I mean? I'm a good Yeah, I was a goalie. And you know, my dad always motivated me to play sports, work out. You know, he had a lot of critic. Like, he always, like, he was a dick, but he was telling the truth. I should be better than, and, you know, be a, like, hardcore soccer player. I should be, you know, like, don't give a fuck and play. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And my dad was, he was really hard on me, but, you know, it's all good because I learned that you gotta be hard in sports, bro. You gotta be motivated. That's what he's trying to do. He wasn't trying to be a dick, nothing like that. He was doing it for love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also he was trying to get you ready for the real world because
exactly.
You know, when you have a lot of parents, there's a lot of helicopter parents, mm-hmm. but when it's a doggy dog world and now you're seeing men, they're not being men, they're being too much of a beta male cuck, and they cry and feelings and all, like, you got to get ready for the real world. Like, the way how your dad was, being toughening up, he loves you, but he wants you to go above and beyond, be like, you know what, this is my son, I want him to surpass me, and he's going to be a better person, boom, like that. And at the same time, when you get older, when you get married, you have kids, when you have a son, you want your son to surpass you as well, to keep the legacy, to keep on going.
Exactly. That's what he always did. He always motivated me to, hey, dude, you need to hustle, bro. And he always told me, dude, if you don't hustle, you don't eat. And he always, I mentioned my mom that, because hustler, because she was getting us a better life, you know, like she hustled her ass off. My dad, his ass off, dude. He had to hustle so much. I think he stopped smoking weed when he was 5 years, when my older sister was born, and he had to hustle. You know what? I'm going to stop, dude, so I can get us a better life. And that's what he did. He gave up on marijuana just to make us a better life. And I you know what, dude? That's a lot of balls to do. And I never seen nobody do it but my dad.
Yeah, man. Like your dad is your inspiration, you know? And also with your dad, you know, what was the type of music your dad was listening to? Because, you know, for you to walk through your dad's footstep, you know, you were probably hearing what type of music what you and your dad were listening to back then.
When I was a kid, when he was always cooking, he would always put some oldies. It was always oldies. It was always the Smokey Robinson. It was always all those basic cholo music. You know what I mean? But hey, I love it, bro. I love the sound. But me, I grew up hip hop because he loved hip hop too. He was a big Pun fan. He was a Be Real fan. Dude, this guy put me in a Cypress Hill. He put me to Big Pun. He put me to Psycho Realm. Big group. You know, my biggest influence is from Psycho Realm, and I love Psycho Realm.
Shout out to
Sig Jackin. But, you know, Sig Jackin was my hero. Ernie G was my hero. I look up to this dude because his sound was one of the best shit ever. It really was. When I got to meet Ernie G, it was one of those things that I was not being, you know, a fanboy because, one, I'm supposed to be professional. You know, I don't like to be fanboying, but, you know, he was still a hero I grew up with, you know.
Don't be lying. You know, he was like Rick James' aura, and he was like,
nah. Give it to me. I'm being serious, man. I tried not to, bro. I just told him how was Frank V, this and that. He told me stories that are just like, I don't remember, but he told me a lot of stories about that. How they were using tapes and all that, dude. It was so crazy how they made tapes from there, dude. It was a small cassette. He would have to press record, and then if they had to do it again, he had to switch it over with the tape recorder. It was insane how they do it. It was so authentic of the studio thing of how Ernie G does it.
I have a funny story with Ernie G, but when I was living in Modesto, California, like, my mom and my uncle, they would go to church. So I would have we had the tapes, like, the Walkmans. And I would put my earphones and put the volume low because I don't want them to hear it. Because my uncle's like, hold up, we don't play rap music in my car. So I was playing Proper Dose and playing that song, Looking for a Feeny Hina. And my uncle heard it. He pulled over, stopped the car. It's like, Steven, so what? Open your Walkman. So what? What is this? And it was Proper Dose, Ernie G, Looking for a Feeny Hina, the single, because I got it at the warehouse back in the day. You know, who remembers that shit? And he grabbed my tape. And he threw it out. Like, we don't hear this shit. I was so livid. But my mom felt so like, that was kind of messed up what you did, man. You don't do that to my son. So the next day, we go to the warehouse in McHenry Village, yeah. right? McHenry Avenue right there. And she bought me the whole proper Dose album and shit like that. But it was like in the CD. They have one for the full cassette, man. But I'm telling you, with proper Dose, Erty G, yeah, they're legends, man. They're fucking legends.
They're legends, dude. I respect. Frank V was so, like, this dude was shooting the stars. This guy is literally, like, this guy was so lyrical. I think he can rap anybody in the 90s in LA for sure. I really believe that. But I think if they were fighting, like, if it was a match, like a rap battle, like, if it was Sick Jacken and him, Sick Jacken would easily beat him, you know? But Frank V was that guy, bro. That guy can rap. I rap any Chicano rapper ever, and that's what I love about his music. Ernie G's production was, like, ahead of his time, like, literally more than ahead of his time, bro. It literally sounds like now, but it sounds like it's from the 90s, you know? It was from the 90s. So crazy, his production.
Yeah, yeah, because I seen Bozo with him at the studio.
Yeah.
And recently, I think it was like a month ago, Conejo was there with them as well, doing some stuff with Ernie G from Proper Dose.
Yeah, he's been working with them for a long time, because I see his tapes with Frank V. It was like Frank V and Conejo. All the tapes they have is Frank V and Conejo tapes. And I've listened to it. It's pretty cool. I like some of their stuff, you know. What was it? Sick Jacken I grew up on because my dad always loved Psycho Realm. They were talking about real shit. You know that, you know, Trainee Day was based on what Sick Jacken was talking about.
Mm.
Because that's, he lived in that environment. It was based on his story.
Mm-hmm.
If you go watch it, if you watch the movie Training Day, Sick Jacken was part of, was he saw all that. He saw what was going on. He knew the real guy that Denzel Washington actually played. And that was based on a real guy.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like no fake character. It was a real guy he based on. He was a crooked-ass cop, you know, but I love that it's their story. Their story is super fucking legendary, dude. Their story is so good. You know, it's just, and their music is so, like, influenced to everybody, you know. They're the real hip-hop group, you know. They're a real hip-hop group. That's what I respect about those guys.
That's what's up. Hey, Chunky, tell me about this person named Gotsky. This guy's been kind of, I've been looking, doing some research. It's like, oh, okay, Chunky knows what's up with this guy.
My brother Anthony, he put me on to music. Yo, you need to work with this guy. You got to make a beat that sounds soul. And you know what? I found the randomest, rarest soul I ever made. And I didn't use no drums or nothing. I just chopped the beat. And all I did was, it just made it sound so good. I high-pitched. It was perfect, dude. It was so perfect. And the guy was like, dude, this is fire right here. And the guy rapped to it, you know. The guy was rapping to it, dude. It was one of the best shit I ever heard. This guy literally rhymes the randomest shit ever. Like MF Doom. Like, he reminded me of MF Doom, but he can be better than that. Like, this guy is lyrical, spiritual. Like, more than lyrical, spiritual. This guy is, like, word to word. This guy, dude, like, it was insane how this guy raps, bro. He's really, like, that's why
I want to work.
Go ahead. My bad.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I've been watching this guy when me and Cindy went to go see Canelo perform in L.A. There's this lyrical guy named Hazard. I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah, I heard of him. He was part of, he's working with Cookies with Big Lux.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Cindy met him. Shouts to the homie Chili,
mm-hmm.
And we saw him perform. I was like, this guy can be lyrical. I see him out there, and it's almost like in a way you don't see it that much. I like to see lyrical people who can just do it all. Like you're talking about earlier, I think it was like a couple of days ago, KRS-One. You know, Boogie Down Productions. You know,
those guys are one of my influence too, because how I started, people, this old dude, I show him some music because I'm like the 2005. I was just showing beats to anybody who, I don't know who, I don't care who it was. It could be anybody. It was a dude like 40 years old, and I showed my first beat ever, and this dude sounded like, man, you sound like Scott LaRock. And I'm like, that is crazy. Those beats sound like Scott LaRock type of beats. Because I had ding, ding, ding. You know what I mean? I was just messing around with the beats. Like, bro, this is pretty good. Like, I think you got to go to the back to the Bronx. Like, he was over exaggerating, but you know, I appreciate his comments about that. It was really good. the comment that I get Scott LaRock.
You know, when I saw that series on Hulu, we, you know, talk about the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
And they talk, you know, one of the members, you know, try to get all these beatbox and mm-hmm. you know, boxes to make beats and on, and they would spend $1,500 or $2,000 or $3,000, and they're still doing it. When did it all start where you wanted to make samples, start doing beats? Was this like when you were in junior high or like in high school? Because, you know, you were talking about this story called Gotta Roach Records. Tell me about that.
Oh, it was Cockroach, but how I started making...
My bad, Cockroach.
Cockroach. No, but so one time, a long time ago, we were in Flagstaff in Arizona, like the snowy part.
Oh, it's fucking cold. I've been there. It's fucking cold.
I think it's Prescott or Flagstaff. I don't remember the two cities, but we were doing, I was making beats with Anthony's computer, my brother's computer. That's how I started.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw his friend Chris making beats. And I was like, you know what? I want to make some music. He put me on to how to mix and master, how do you make a rhythm beat. He only did trap beats for a while, but I wasn't really a fan of, like, again, I don't mind doing it, but I want to get into hip hop, and I had to figure out myself how to make a hip hop beat. And I did the same thing as a trap beat, but I used different snares, different kicks, different hi-hats in the 808s. You know, I had to use something different. I still use different basses, but I still use here and there kicks. But it was just like one of those things that I just started making beats. Like, I was like, you know what? I want to make beats. I love music. I fell in love with music. Music saved my life. Hip hop saved my life. So you know what? I'm going to make music. And I kept doing it. But the thing is, how I started, I show people my music. People made fun of me. People were like, the fuck is this trash? Get the fuck out of here. Like, fuck, like, dude, you're never going to make it in the music scene if you don't make these.
What? Songs.
Yeah. These kids were fucking ruthless.
Damn.
These kids were pieces of shit. They're like, dude, this is not good hip hop music. This is really bad. This is not the, I want some traps. I want some 80. I did it. They still got mad and said, dude, get the fuck out of here. Throw that shit in the trash. Like, I swear to God to you, they would make fun of me. They would promote it, but make fun of me because it was really bad. And I almost beat the shit out of them. But security guard caught my hand and sent me to the office. Like, that, it was that bad at the point I was I'm going to knock a motherfucker out. Like, that was that close. And it was one of those things that I didn't care. I kept going, even high school. I kept going. But people noticed I was making good music now. People know I made the trap beats. People know I was doing the SoundCloud. I was on SoundCloud. I started from SoundCloud. And
yeah, a lot of people did.
I started from SoundCloud, and a lot of people knew that, oh, your beats are dope, bro. Like, people recognize it because I put hashtag this town, hashtag this. They recognize it. And it was just crazy, dude. People were noticing it. And then I met a rapper that he was in from high school. He wanted to collab, but the problem was that he was just like, he thought he was hot shit. You know what I mean? That was a problem. I tried to work with him, but he was with this homie. He was like, bro, who are you? Like, try to be fake. Like, fake.
Damn.
Dude, I swear to God, too, I had a laptop, and I still have the laptop to this day right here I'm using right now. It's right here in front of me. And they were like, dude, who are you, bro? Like, who, why are you telling me to collab? Like, they, dude, I swear to God in my life, they were fake. They were so fake. And they, dude, I got put down like crazy, dude, but I was going to quit. But you know what? My parents told me never to stop. Fuck those guys. Fuck the people. Fuck the world. And that's my motive. Fuck the people. Fuck the crowd. Fuck the world. I do whatever the fuck I want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Just be like a fucking maverick. Be a zebra. Mm-hmm. You know, get to do whatever you want. Look, we're gonna get haters all the way, but you know what? You and I and everyone else, we're gonna fucking win. I mean, the beats that you did, that, you know, like, there's one song that you did with Bozo, your beat, that, you know, a song I like, and also I heard that one with Bozo, Money, Power, Respect.
Oh, I told you, it's my favorite track I made. One of my favorite tracks ever.
Yo.
He recommended me that sample, actually. Mm-hmm. That's a fun fact. He recommended the sample. I'm like, it's a it's a badass song. I love that song.
Fuck yeah.
But like, but like, how am I gonna do? He's like, bro, just do different. Do you. He told me to do you. I'm like, all right, cool. And I made that beat and it sounded perfect. You know, I made it how I wanted it to sound. But I was gonna tell you the story how I started with Bozo. So how I started with Bozo was that I think I was graduating preps. I was about to graduate high school, my bad. High school. COVID happened. You know, my dad, we were cooking during COVID because we didn't go out to eat or nothing. It was so bad. I was like literally 17, literally barely turning 18. And my dad was cooking. He's like, bro, have you heard of Bozo? Because he showed me.
Damn! Bozo already.
Yeah, he already knew. He's like, have you seen this diss track, bro? This dude's pretty fire, dude. I like his stuff because he's always talking shit, and I love it. And then he's
Bozo for you.
Yeah, he's talking shit, and I was like, you know what, Dad? I'm gonna start doing it. I'm gonna text Bozo. I text Bozo on DMs like, hey Bozo, you know, I've been checking out your music, dude. It's pretty fucking fire. I'm wondering if we can work on something. Bozo's like, shoot it through, my boy. And I sent him a beat. It was Blue In, Blue Out. The first beat I ever sent was Blue In, Blue Out. And Bozo was like throwing me 4 text messages, fire, fire, flint, like emoji, fire emojis. Like he sent like 7 of them. And this dude's like, damn, my boy, how old are you, dude? This shit sounds fire. He's like, I'm 17, but I'm going to turn 18 next month. Say, damn, dude, your production is better than any grown ass dude. At 17 years old, you sound like a 34-year-old made this beat. But, dude,
damn.
Crazy. A 30 or 40-year-old, I can make a better beat. That's what he said. He said, I can make a better beat than the 40-year-old can. It's that crazy. I'm like, oh, thank you, dude. I appreciate you, dude. That motivated me to keep going and going, making tracks with Bozo. Like, was one of the hardest shit because I didn't know what to sample.
I think it has over 1 million on the music video. I think it does.
Almost a million views. Yeah, I did my own sampling, but it was like one of those things. I used arcade and I used the piano sampling. It's just sample free though. And I did it my own keys. I did my own keys on there. I did it. I pitched it slow. I made it perfect. I chopped it because I knew how the sample was just offbeat, like here and there. Mm-hmm. And it was so crazy because, man, that beat was banging and
fuck people, yeah, but...
I was showing a lot of people that, dude, this is fucking fire. This is the 2020. This is it. This is the one. And you know, there's a couple of times that my friends no longer friends with, said, like, bro, this is trash. And I'm like, dude, the fuck are you talking about?
Talking about, dude.
What are you talking about? The guy, it's always the guy in the back hating, dude. Always the guy in the back.
Those people, they're envy and jealous, man. Yeah, don't even worry about them. Those are your cheerleaders. Let them cheer for you.
Exactly, dude. 99% of the people like that beat. You know what? And I sent to Bozo. Bozo's like, dude, this is the most gangster shit I ever heard. This is more gangster, and it sounds like some Spice One shit. And I'm like, and then it was like, damn, bro, that was. I felt happy when Bozo had given me an opportunity to work with them. It was really good to work with Bozo. It was one of those things that, you know, I wish we kept going and here and there with music. You know, he's a busy dude. I'm a busy dude. I gotta find my own artist. You know what I mean? But man, Bozo, bro, that album was fire. The Goon Play was when I made those 2 tracks with fire. King Goon was one of my favorite albums I ever made because almost all my productions on there, almost all my production of me making beats on there. I like Never, Money, Power, Respect. Man, I forgot the other tracks, dude. But I know one of those two was mine. And then I know the, I literally forgot Forever. Forever was one of my favorite tracks I ever made. It was the number one favorite track I ever made. The other one, I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what track it was. But Forever by Bozo, that one's fire. I was supposed to give that beat to Downer Lokes, the rapper Downer Lokes from Baldwin Park. He declined it. And Bozo's like, bro, send me that beat. That's fucking insanely fire. Man, that fool was tripping. That's what he said, dude. Straight up on text. He said that. That fool was tripping, bro. I don't know why that fool didn't want to get that beat. Because I work with everybody. Whoever declined it. Cujo declined it. Yeah.
Oh.
And I was surprised myself. And I'm like, that's crazy.
I didn't see that one coming.
But Bozo's like, bro, give me that beat. You crazy. If they don't want it. They're crazy. They don't want that beat.
Damn. You know what? With some of your beats, I can kind of see like Drummer Boy or Little Weirdo. I mean, maybe if you had a bomb-ass beat for Mexican OT.
I can do it. I definitely can. I'm trying to make something I can match his level of his flow and everything. I can also see him in a hip-hop beat because, again, I want to see the lyrical potential. That's what I want to do. That's why I work with other people that have lyricism, you know, that have that good flow and crazy flow. That's why I want to see the potential. I know they do trap beats and it's cool, but dude, do something different. That's what I want to hear. I always tell them, I want to hear something different. I don't want to hear the same thing over and over in every album. Always motivate them to do a different beat. Always.
I can kind of see you with my homie from Boyle Heights, Viva Mascal. Oh. You know, he's very lyrical. I mean, maybe Hazard. I mean,
Dude, a contact, dude. He's really hard to contact. He's always busy with Cookies and, you know, all the stuff he's working with, you know. Like, he's been working with, I think, Burner, bro. I think he took a picture with Burner for sure. But it was one of those that Hazard is pretty hard. I tried to text him, but he put me on red. But I think he's just a busy dude. Even, what's his name? Sucker Free 104 was busy also. So he's also one of those people I try to contact too, but he put me on red too. I tried to, but it's one of those things. They're busy. I'm busy. She's busy. He's busy. You know what I mean? So I work with everybody. That's why I found Ski. Again, my brother found Ski for me so I can work with more music. And we are making more music for sure.
What's up? What's in store for 2024 for like, are you working with any new artists, or are there any like secret beats that you're gonna be doing? Because I know you might be doing my intro for the Lobby Social Experiment. I know that for sure.
I got you. I definitely got you. Try to talk to Lefty Gunplay.
Ooh.
But King Cash has been busy. You know, I want to work with them, and I also want to work with people from Imperial Valley because they have a lot of talent, dude. Like people from I'm from. Have a lot of talent, and it's one of those things that there's people that are big and from Imperial Valley, but they don't put people on. That's my problem, was they don't put nobody on. And that's like, nah, bro, we're from the same sandbox, and you're not going to do that, bro. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, I want to put everybody on. I do want to put everybody on, and I see a lot of lyricism in there from that valley.
Yeah. You know, I was going to tell you, Chunky, you know, with a lot of people coming out, if you can see them on YouTube or on Twitch or on Rumble or Instagram and all. But over here in LA, you know, people getting tired of hearing the song 30 times on Power 106 and all, or K-Day. But we need our own people. We need more music because I don't want to be hearing a track by Drake 30 times a day. I want to hear something different to get more, you know, a lot of these people need exposures because I kind of noticed now there's been a lot of rappers trying to come on my show. Like, I already have the homie King Guest from Long Beach coming up, and mm-hmm. he was performing at the Canejo show and all. But yeah, man, is this something where I see there's a lot of talent coming out? But for me, it's kind of hard, Chunky, because I'm more like 80s, 90s retro, like funky rap music and all that.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard because I kind of like the underground lyrical like music and all, but I'm very picky when it comes to like Mexican rap or just any types of rap.
Again, I think the reason why they don't put Mexicans on radio is because a lot of people don't promote it that much. Of course, you know, they got platforms, but they don't have platforms to hit the radio. You know, Kid Frost did. You know, Kid Frost was the only dude that was on radio and got respected by Snoop, Be Real, Ice Cube, Corrupt, every West Coast legendary from there. You know what I mean? Like, people respect this dude, man. Like, Kid Frost was one of those guys that he promoted himself so much that that he's like, you know, put this in radio, man. This is a hit song. Even Light a Shit of Brown, the same thing.
Yes. They had
people, but now I feel like they don't have that much promotion because I guess I don't know, to be honest with you. I think Power 101 should actually put a lot of people on. They should. You know, it is they have a Mexican host, you know, they have a Mexican girl in there. They have everybody. They could put somebody on. I think they need to say, hey, you know what, we should recommend it, you know. But it was one of those rules in the radio, because I used to be in a radio radio class, and they say it's a payola if you try to convince people to be like, hey, can you play this guy? They can't. They got to go through the rules, you know. They have to play it from if it's a good song or not, you know. It's not, they can't just give them a favor and whatever, pay them, say, hey, we'll pay you if you put our song on radio, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
that's why it's hard. You can't put, but now if you notice that payola is so big now, it's so big because it's in Apple Music now. You can choose any music you want. You're paying the streaming platforms. You are paying, you're paying the subscription to play any song you want. That's payola. That is payola, basically, because you're paying to play your song on radio. Just like streaming platform, that's payola. Because you're putting your music on, you could put your music on iHeartRadio, or you could put it on XM Fam. You could do anything. And I think it just depends on who chooses it, you know?
So, yeah. It's, I remember back in the day when I was on MySpace, like, yeah, that's old school. And they would really promote like a lot of music. To me, it's, I don't want to say it's oversaturated. It was like, whoa, it's like going to Toys R Us for all music. We got this genre, this category. It's like for everyone to like and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, there's too many options. Like, what do I choose? R&B, Mexican rap, Chicano rap, emo, like new wave. I mean, it's there's a genre for everything now.
It is. But I feel like the thing is, we need to stop labeling ourselves for calling us Chicano rappers. I think every Mexican rapper is a hip-hop artist. I don't care what.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know how they have the nerds, the jocks, the emos? We need to stop with that, man. We really do, because I feel like we are human beings that we can be in the hip-hop scene, too. Just like, for example, Big Pun doesn't call himself a Puerto Rican rapper. You know what I mean? He's a hip-hop artist, you know? He's a hip-hop artist. Frank V, I don't believe he's a Chicano rapper. I think he's a hip-hop artist. This dude has lyrics like a hip-hop artist. This dude can rap on the mic, you know? So I believe that we need to stop labeling ourselves a Chicano rap. Oh, I'm a Chicano rapper. Like, dude, what, you want to be better. You want to be better. There's nothing wrong, but I feel like they need to stop labeling us this. No one calls me that because, one, I make hip-hop beats for everybody. You know what I mean? I make beats for everybody. Mexicans, blacks, whites, anybody. I make with everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I had that situation like 4 years ago where people say, oh, Mega Man, you're like the best Latino podcast. It's like, I'm not one dimensional. Don't ever say that. I'm more universal. Mm-hmm.
You're the best podcast. Don't say you're the best Mexican podcast.
Yeah. Nah, man.
Podcast. Don't do that, because it seems like it's a white thing. It's not. It's an everybody race. Just like hip-hop is for everybody. It's not mainly for blacks. It's Puerto Ricans put on black people in that type of mixing and stuff. DJ Kool Herc was black, but it was one of those things that Puerto Rican were putting on this type of new genre, how hip-hop is now, you know? So everybody needs to stop thinking like that. We need to start thinking like everybody's genre, just like rock. He didn't. All these white artists disrespecting Jimi Hendrix. This dude knows how to use a guitar. And if you're hating on him because of skin, you're a fucking piece of shit. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, bro, it's everybody's genre. Who cares who you are? Like, it's everybody's genre. Hip hop is everybody. Mexican rappers are hip hop artists. Chicano rappers are hip hop artists. But I don't know. I don't label them because I don't like that. You know, I don't like they're called Chicano rappers because people label them, not themselves. I want them to be hip-hop artists.
There's this black guy from Texas. You have to look him up. Mm-hmm. And he sings country music, and he's like from the hood, like, or like urban hood. And the way how he sings country music, I was shocked. I was like, and he sings it good, like it, because a lot of the country singers, they always have they're storytellers. And with him, I posted a while back last year. And a lot of people are like, oh, Mega Man, I didn't know you knew about that person. It's like, oh, yeah, just because of social media. Because if I see it, like, on someone's page, like, oh, let me go check it out. And you repost it, and it just spreads and spreads and spreads. It's like with you doing a collab with Bozo or this person. It's like, oh, I kind of like it. If I repost it, it's going to spread. It's going to be a ripple effect.
Have you heard of Y'all Should Have Rapped by Ski Mask?
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, not Ski Mask. Ski? Dude. That's the beat I work with them. That Gotsky guy, I made Y'all Should Have Rapped. Everybody loved that track. I was streaming everywhere. People were like, dude, what type of beat is this? This is insane. It's so creative, you know?
What's the name of the song?
It's called Y'all Shouldn't Rap.
Y'all should have rapped. I'm going to look it up tonight.
That's a good one. You got to listen to it. It's a really good track he made. And the intro is Al Davis saying, just win, baby. That's it.
Oh, shit. Hey, I don't know. We want to switch gear because look at Chucky's like, let's talk about my Raiders, man. Let's not talk about music. Let's talk about my Raiders.
Yeah, you know what, dude? Man, I love my team no matter what. How many losses, how many wins, how many ties. I'm a Raider till I die. And I love how this is getting built up. We got what's his name? Clint. Carisburg, that dude is crazy, man. I know he was really bad in the Cardinals back in the days when one of the players cussed him out. But, dude, this dude's a good offensive coordinator, though. He's the one that built Patrick Mahomes. He's the one that created Patrick Mahomes' career.
Oh, is it the quarterback coach?
Yeah.
I think I know who he is. Because I followed this page. I'll send it to you probably tomorrow. I think it's called QB Back. And they have all the recruitments from high school. And I think there's this talented high school quarterback. And his Patrick Mahomes' coach, you know, to get him where he's at now, he's training quarterbacks. So I think I know who he is.
Yeah, this dude is very powerful offensive coordinator, according to people. But I seen it myself. He's a pretty good coordinator, offensive. Because Ball Hardigree fucking blew, man. He fucking ruined our chances to make it to the playoffs. And I'm like, bro, they should have shit-canned this dude after the Colts game. That was some bullshit.
Okay. That game, yes, you should have won. But also, you guys should have won that Viking when you guys lost 3-0.
You know, that's a fair point, too. But that shows you that our defense is good. You know what I mean? It was three points. Yeah, it was embarrassing. But at least it shows you that we're not fucking around in our defense. We are not fucking around. We'll let you have a field goal, but you ain't going to know our end zone. You got us fucked up. That's what we're literally telling these guys, that our fucking our defense is crazy. It's just that, again, offensive, what the fuck, dude? You know what I mean? What is going on? Vikings had a good defense. We have a good defense. It was like a battle of defenses, whoever's going to make it. But it was just like one of those games that the kicker got us, you know, that's it. And we could have done more, but, you know, Aiden O'Connell did try much as he can as a player, but at the end of the day, he's just a backup quarterback. I believe one day he'll be a full-time quarterback, you know, maybe in a couple of years if we make it to the Super Bowl. Maybe one player gets hurt and then he'll replace him, and then, dude, we can win with this dude.
I think because of Antonio Pierce being the head coach now, we're just going to see sky's the limit for him as long as the organization doesn't butt in. And because he's a players person, he was one of our former Long Beach Poly right here, like two blocks away, the football coach for high school. You know, my son goes there, and he had a Super Bowl ring for the Giants, you know, when I think when they beat the Patriots, the Tom Brady, when they went undefeated.
Yes, sir. When it was Belichick looking like a punk ass bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, we haven't even got started with Fool's Community. We're gonna save that for last. But you know what? I think the Raiders have defense. Who knows if they're really hungry? I bet you there'll be some players like, okay, we're gonna take maybe a month off and we're gonna come back and let's say, let's get this. I kind of want to see who they're going to draft.
Dude, I really want Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. It was one of those two. I like a lot more of Jaden, a little bit more than Caleb Williams, but there's nothing wrong with Caleb Williams. He's actually a really good quarterback. I think people shit on him way too much, though, because he wasn't good this year, but he's still a good quarterback. They're going to have a downfall, always. Mahomes had a downfall this season, but he made it to the Super Bowl. But you don't know. He might lose. I believe he's going to lose, dude, because I feel like you can notice how he's playing, and Travis Kelce's back is always hurting. And I don't know what's going on with that. That shit's weird. Like, he's always telling, oh, my back hurt every time I'm playing defense. Like he's always saying that shit, dude. Like, he's always saying that shit. I don't know why. And Mahomes just throwing shit out of his ass and yelling at his offense. Like, dude, it's your fault. Play the fucking game. You know what I mean? When that Raiders game, we beat their ass, dude. Jesus, dude. We beat the Chiefs so bad, we made Mahomes cry. We made Mahomes cry. He was so scared the Raiders was going to beat their ass, and we did. And that tells you something, that if we were in the Super Bowl, I wanted to see him cry. I'll be fucking laughing at his ass, dude.
You know what, Chunky? I think we had this conversation 2 months ago, because honestly, that Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs, that's not his team. That was Alex Smith's team.
Yeah, I heard you said it, and I heard somebody else said it too. That was somebody.
Yeah.
It wasn't Mahomes.
We'll just see what happens with the Niners, baby. I mean, man, I'm telling you, we thought we were gonna lose to Green Bay. Okay, we came back, but that Detroit game, boy, when they scored 2 touchdowns the first quarter, and under like 3 minutes, I was like, fuck this.
Yeah. That was kind of wild, dude. Fucking Eminem, man. Eminem was in the stadium, probably pissed.
Oh, yeah. He's like, fuck you.
He's like, I ain't performing Northern California again. Fuck you.
Nah, man. But you know what? To be honest, I was surprised that the Detroit Lions, they made it pretty far. I mean, and who knows? If they keep the right players, that they could come back, but... Yeah, man. Again, it's any given Sunday, man. But the Niners, Chiefs. Who do you got? Chiefs or Niners?
Dude, I fucking hate both. But you know what? I fucking hate both. But I mostly hate a lot more of the Chiefs, because Patrick Mahomes is like the LeBron of football, man. I really believe so. Because, he's a good quarterback. I really do believe he's a good quarterback. He's actually, I think, my opinion, he's better than Tom Brady. For a fact, because they won Super Bowls, and they went to the Super Bowl 5 times, dude, like every year. It's crazy. And a decade. This is a decade. And that's so insane how he did it. And I'm like, damn, bro, this dude is a guy. This guy is like God in the field. But he just cries too much, because he's always like, what the fuck, bro? And then the ref throws a flag. They're always throwing a flag, dude, on some bullshit.
Hey. Every time when the Chiefs lost, who you blame it? Taylor Swift. Who do you blame it? Patrick Mahomes' fucking brother doing TikTok videos.
I think both. They both look dumb. Taylor Swift is there just for her boyfriend or whatever. But I think their focus, NFL focus, way too much on Taylor Swift, because, oh, she's a pop artist. She's the greatest pop artist of all time. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude. Like, Taylor Swift needs a breath. Like, what if she get caught picking her nose? You know what I mean? You're going to put that on screen? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, if I don't know if you saw the Golden Globes. I mean, shout-outs to Food News Network with Flyboy. They showed a video of Taylor Swift, and some girl was snorting a little coke on Taylor Swift's chichis.
Damn. Wild. Kind of wild. I wouldn't be surprised if Travis Kelce was like that, bro. I feel like he's a party dude.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. I mean, oh, yeah, man. The party dude. I mean, it is what it is, man. We'll see. We'll see how long it lasts.
You know what's funny, dude? You know what's funny? Now we mentioned about Travis Kelce. After that, they lost to the Raiders, to our team. This dude got on the podcast and started talking shit, saying how we played Sam with them. We let him have that win. So you're telling me you let us have that win, but Mahomes crying on screen? That's bullshit, dude. We made him cry. We made him cry because the defense, the refs wasn't on their side now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's what they're good for, bro. That's what they're good for. But I think the 49ers are gonna win the Super Bowl, man. We
need it, man. I kind of thought like, oh, Ravens, Niners. Oh, Ravens lost. Oh, it's not scripted. But I mean, everyone's all focused on Chiefs, Taylor Swift, you know, for numbers. But honestly, for me, I want the Niners to win. So, because Brock Purdy, we found our quarterback. We have the good organization. Mm-hmm. Lynch, mm-hmm. He used to be for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Won a Super Bowl with John Gruden, Raider coach. But we have that good organization. And we just want to win that ring. And Brock Purdy will be in that line of best quarterbacks come out the Niners, you know, with Joe Montana, Steve Young. You know, it's I just can't wait for next Sunday.
Oh, yeah. It is next Sunday. Fuck, dude, that's crazy, dude. That's a crazy-ass party, man. It is, bro. It is. What was it, man? I just think that, man, I hate the Chiefs, bro, because people are Chiefs fan, bro. I remember they never won they won one Super Bowl back in the days, but they never won a Super Bowl. Not even the Raiders. Raiders, I can't really talk shit that much because we haven't won a Super Bowl almost 40 years. And it's like, damn, dude, when are we going to win a Super Bowl, bro? It was because, again, it was one of those things Mark Davis didn't know what business was. Didn't know how to get players. Or the coaches didn't know how to get players. John Gruden was really bad at choosing players to be in there. But the only one he got good one was Derek Carr and, what's his name? Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow is one of my favorite wide receivers ever. I really believe that. He's really good.
I was going to tell you, yeah. Isn't Tom Brady a part owner of the Raiders?
I really don't know. I don't believe so because apparently Tom Brady got in Mark Davis' ear about another Titans coach because I think he used to coach Tom Brady back in college. But Mark Davis is like, fuck you, dude. I want AP on my team. You know what I mean? So I really don't know, dude. I think he is for sure, but I don't believe he's part owner. Mark Davis, for sure.
Hey, talk to me about your Dodgers. How are they going to do this year?
You know what, dude? Dude, I hope they win, dude. Because we're paying a player that much money, we should win the World Series. You know what I mean? We should. If we pay that money and we didn't make it to the playoffs, that's fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? Total bullshit.
It's a lot of money, man. Because look at it. I mean, you're giving all this money to one player. That means parking tickets gonna go up. Tickets to go see the games gonna go up. What the biggest thing is, how much is it going to be for a tall can? $30?
The beer is going to be $30 for sure. That's what I heard. Fuck. It's going to be $30.
Fuck that, man. I'm telling you. Stupid. Yeah, they got to win. The Dodgers got to win because, I mean, a lot of money like that. And, you know, if you don't win that World Series, you know, L.A. is going to go fucking – don't talk shit about the Dodgers.
Yeah, just like the Raiders. When they got why did I say Timmy G? I mean, Jimmy G. When they had Jimmy G, it was one of those things that, bro, you spent so much money on a veteran quarterback that gets hurt every time when he throws a fucking football. Like, are you fucking serious? And then it goes up more just because that guy, Jimmy G's in the team. Like, bro, he wasn't even good when he was in the 49ers either. I'm pretty sure he was okay-ish. You think he was good when he was in the 49ers? Jimmy G?
Jimmy, honestly, he looked like an injured player, man. It was we didn't want to take a chance.
He looked like a stick figure out there, bro. Like he can break a leg and he'll fucking fall. Like, oh shit, my leg. Oh fuck, you know what I mean? Like he'll be like the crackhead from Friday. Oh, my neck and my back. Yeah, bro. Seriously, man. That's crazy, dude. Nah, bro. And then. It sucks. Aidan O'Connell was our chance to make it to the playoffs, but, you know, the offensive coordinator fucking blew, man. I fucking hated the offensive coordinator. Really.
We're going to see what's up. We're going to see what's up for next year when the fall comes for 2024 from the NFL and see. I want to focus on the draft. I want to see what kind of players, you know, people are making moves. Jim Harbaugh is the head coach for the fucking the Chargers, we're going to see what's up with that.
It's going to take him a while. Even though he's a good coach, I think it'll take him a while because I feel like it's one of those things they might make it to the Super Bowl in the next 2 years. It's a new build-up, man.
See what happens, man. I mean, the last time the Chargers made it to the Super Bowl, that's when the Niners beat the Chargers and Steve Young won a Super
Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, I read about that shit too. Obviously, I wasn't born by that time, but I was there and I was hearing it. That story, that was a crazy Super Bowl.
But wherever Jim Harbaugh, wherever he goes, he wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if I was Jim Harbaugh, I would have just stayed with Michigan. You just won a national championship. You're gonna get a lot of money. Now the front line with the front pitcher will be Jim Harbaugh because Nick Saban retired from Alabama. So now you're going to be the front face for college football and you're going to get a lot of endorsements, deals, sponsors. He should have stayed, but man, you're taking that chance to be a head coach for the Chargers. What happens if things don't work out? What are you going to do?
That's the thing, dude. And he was a Chargers back in the day. He really was. He was a good quarterback.
Very good quarterback.
He had nobody. That was the thing. He never had nobody. Like, that's what sucks about.
There's one thing I liked about him when he was a quarterback for the Chargers. He never gave up.
He never,
never gave
up. Did. He's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. You know what I mean? We'll try to make it to the Super Bowl. We'll try to make it to the playoffs or whatever. He will do it. But he just had nobody. He had no unknown wide receivers. He had nothing. Even he was the Chicago Bears. He had nobody. He was only that one quarterback that was good, and everybody fucking blew. It was just like, oh, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. But switching gears to sports, let's talk about Food Community, man. What happened? Talk to me, man. Talk to me about Food Community.
So I made two tracks with two ladies from South Central. One is Joey Bucks, and the other one was—is it Joey Bucks? Yeah, Joey Bucks with the dollar sign at the end as an S, and then Say Less too. But hers is two dollar sign S's. But both of those guys, Joe Bucks and Say Less they're like a rappers or two rappers from South Central. They, you know, I wanted to work with them. I actually, Say Less, look, checked up my DM, me showing that beat of me sampling, like the, I forgot the sample, but I sampled a song that they really liked that part. And like, you know what? This is badass. Send me this beat. And then when I sent her the beat, she was in the studio recording the next day, and it was really dope and it sounded so good. Two artists sound perfect. I want to make them as a group. You know, I really do, because I think they have potential making a super female group. They can be the next. You know what I mean? I forgot the super groups of who made Pusha, dude? I literally forgot their fucking names. God damn it, Salt and Pepper. They could be the next Salt and Pepper if they want to, but they could be themselves, be better, you know? But anyways, so Fool Community posted their thing, but Say Less post is like, oh, they post our beat, they post the song, oh shit, Fool Community, oh fuck, they like the song. And I looked, they only credited the two artists. And I asked Say Less, say, hey, what's going on with Fool Community not tagging me? It's like, Oh my God. I told him to tag you on it. Let me talk to him. I guess she talked to him, put on red and liked the comment and left her on red. You know, that was so crazy because I'm like, what? What are you talking about? They just liked it and left you on red. Let me text them. I text them, say, hey, you forgot to tag me on this post. What's going on? What's up with this? This is not fair. Like, I made this beat. You can't promote me. Are you serious? Like, you only promoted those two artists, but not me. I made this beat. You know what makes it worse? My producer tag was in that track. It was on there. And they didn't want to tag me. What kind of shit is that, dude? Like, I was just frustrated and mad. I wasn't super mad. I was just frustrated because it wasn't fair that I didn't get tagged on. So, again, they liked it, and they left me on red. And I put them a question marks. Hello, where's my answer? You know, where's my damn answer of why are you not tagging me in this damn post? And I talked to Rich Homie Quan. I tried to talk to Rich Homie Quan. Again, he didn't respond. He has to follow me to answer my texts. Have you seen those accounts? You text them in the DM and it says they have to follow you to request your DM, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, on the DMs where you leave him a message, mm-hmm. He says he has to wait for your invite or something.
He has to wait invite, and that was stupid. I'm like, okay, now this dude's being stupid. Like, whatever. You know what? I don't care. It got me mad because a lot of people's like, bro, isn't this your beat? It's like, yeah, it's my beat. We need to do something about it. All my friends from the neighborhood were going on that post and tagging Chunky Chan. He needs his credit. Credit's due. Everybody was so fucking happy and proud that, you know, like happy of me making my music, and they didn't get me a tag and they were doing it for me. And I appreciate them to this day that they promoted me for that. And they liked all their posts, and they still didn't do it, bro.
You know what I learned when you told me about that? When, if I ever down the road, like doing a podcast with you right now, mm-hmm. or any other artist, you got to give credit when credit's due. And I learned that the hard way because, man, I would name drop some people, but I'll tell you off this live, bro, there are some people that don't want to see win, and they'll just, it's all about them. And it's like, hey, man, just give them that shine. But a lot of people these days, they don't want to give anyone shine. It's all about me because it's their ego. It's like, it's my production. It's me. Mm-hmm. I kind of think like, wow, it just shows how it could be very cutthroat.
It is. I don't have a ultra ego. I think that's bullshit. That's fucking bunch of pussy shit. But for me, it's one of those things that I want my credit. That's all I want.
Yeah, that's it.
Credit. That's it. I'm not being Mr. Ultra Ego, whatever, Mr. This and That. Like, dude, I just want my credit. That's it. Credit is always due. Like, where's my credit at? You know, like, that's what Fool Community didn't do, and that's what sucks, my bro. It's what makes me mad. And of course, I still follow him for work on new artists. Mm-hmm. I work on new artists, but still, credit is not fucking due because that's not right. And that's why nobody makes it. Because they don't promote the producer too. If you're gonna post my beat with those two artists, you should promote me and put my name on there.
Correct.
Like, so be respectful and do this the right thing. Do the right thing and tag me on it. But no, it's been like 8 months or a year already. They didn't put me in that post.
Man, who gives a care about them? They unfollow me because I said one question to Icon.
Yeah.
How come you took down the Marvelous Sync episode? And he left me a DM and he just put question. Homie, that's not how you talk to me. Just say question. You say, hey, my name is Icon from Fufu's Community and stuff. Hey, what did you mean by this? If that's how they conduct themselves, I'll just leave it like unread.
I think again, all those guys have egos. You know, I don't know Icon that much, but I feel like he has egos for everything. Everybody does. How people online I see now have egos and they think this and that. And that's the problem, dude. Egos don't make it. Egos don't make it. Because if your ego, if you think your super egos are gonna make it, dude, just because you're a badass for 3,000 views, that's nothing, dude. Just like the Arizona scene here, like the people I try to work with had egos. Some of them I work with, they're cool. They have no egos. They're really cool. They're respectful. They like, but credit always do. They always give me credit. The two artists I work with from Arizona, they always give me credit, and I want to keep working with those guys. But, anyways, those artists in Arizona I try to work with, and I'm not saying that's everywhere in Arizona, but people I met, because I don't want people thinking that I'm dissing Arizona.
No.
But what I met is that people have ultra ego. They have like these egos that, oh, I'm this and that because I have 3K views. Or it's like, dude, I can talk all this shit and say, I made 700,000 views with Bozo Track. I can. You know what? I don't do that because I'm not a piece of shit. I can talk all this shit and they say, oh, I made 3K views. Dude, that's nothing. Like, I'm trying to work with you. Now you have a talent, but you have an ego thinking that you can do whatever you want. And there's one time my boy used to work at the studio, it's called City of Fire. He used to work at City of Fire. That's what it's called. Mm. Now it's burned down.
Yeah.
It's some shady shit. But anyways, I'm not going to talk about it. So he was working as an intern. They didn't give him an opportunity for the studio, like mixing and mastering. They made his ass clean toilets, like do all intern shit, like stupid shit. And I'm like, dude, this is not even an official studio and they're making you do this shit. this is not really a studio. This is not the fucking 90s or 80s anymore, bro. Give them a chance to start doing it.
What the fuck is this, man? Fucking Puff Daddy making the band?
Yeah, dude. Like, come on, man. But they did give him a chance, and he was actually pretty good. He was a good engineer. And he just, again, people put him down because this and that, and he's still an intern. He doesn't know this and that. He was just like, again, those guys are assholes, bro. Even what's his name? I forgot his name, but one of the owners tried to work with me because I used to have a manager, not anymore. But I used to work on, say, hey, let's do this. Let's talk to my manager week so we could do a 50-50 split. This guy has the eagle fucking face and said, hey, no, your manager needs to talk to me. Bro, you're the one who want to work with me. You know what I mean? Like, you want to work with me. I'm trying to work with you too, but you're the one that asked me to work with you because you saw my production. You had you think I'm going to bow down to you? Fuck you, dude. Like, I put him on red and told him to go fuck himself. Like that. And I was like, bro, I'm not coming back to your studio or talk to you motherfuckers. Because you think you know what I mean? Like, you guys think you're badass, but you're not, dude. You're not badass. Like, again, I don't put people down because they put me down. If you're going to put me down, I'm going to put you down because I have tracks that have 500,000 views.
Yeah. Because look it, I get small numbers and I get millions of numbers, but to me, I don't have no ego. I'm just myself.
Exactly. I don't have an ego either because I don't believe that shit. An ego is a fake personality. It's a fake personality, just like Instagram is. When people have this fake personality, they get it from Instagram because they think this is real. It's not real. Get the fuck out of the computer. Go outside. Smell air for once. That's what I. Because why? I don't have a fake personality on there. Like, what's the point of doing that? You know what I mean? Like, there's no point in me doing that, of me having a personality because I'm an Instagram famous follower. Nah, dude. If I have a lot of followers, that's good, cool. But don't be fake. Don't be fake.
Yeah. That shit
never get you nowhere, bro. Because one day you're gonna get for that. It's just a fact.
Big time. Just be yourself. Keep on doing what you're doing, man. Fuck the naysayers, haters, and all, man. Chunky, you're gonna fucking win. And we're almost at the end. I know you're gonna go out of town to the East Coast doing some things. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, and then I want to talk about the Cockroach record store before.
Go for it.
Okay. So what happened, how I started was I met these three guys from college prep school. I went to high school, and then I took the bus to go to prep school because they had a service for there. You can go to prep school, learn about music business, anything, whatever you want, building houses, be a doctor, whatever it is. And I was a radio host. I used to make hip-hop station. I was the first person to make hip-hop station, but that's a long story I can tell you later on. But anyway, so I met the guys in the bus. I had a homie named Basilio. He called himself BJ, but I don't like calling him that. It's fucking weird. So I call him Basilio. And we had a boy named Constantine. Shout out to Constantine. Shout out to BJ. Shout out to Carson. Those are my homies right there, bro. Those are straight my homies. Then I had a homie named Dylan. Then I had a boy named Ty that had like the speakers, the big speaker, bro. Like, we doing like the 80s style. Like, dudes would play my beat, and they were freestyle, bro. They were freestyling the bus. Like, bro, we need to make a group. We were really good freestylers. And dude, we were just like, we need to make a group. We went to the studio at my place, at my class, and started recording. And then we saw the cockroach in the ceiling because we were trying to figure out a group name. So, bro, just call us up Cockroach Records because we saw a dead cockroach in the fucking ceiling. It was so funny, dude. It was classic. I'm like, all right, fuck it. Cockroach Records. That's our group. Why are we calling ourselves Cockroach Records? And I'm like, well, it's because Cockroach Records. This is funny. I'm like, all right, fuck it. Cockroach Records. We made tracks in SoundCloud, dude. We used to diss famous Arizona rappers, too. We didn't give a fuck, dude. But the thing is that I hated faking it to make it. So we made a fake beef to get views. I never liked that shit, bro. I never did. And you know what? I'll do it for the one time. But it didn't feel to make fake beef, like doing stunts. I know how it is now, how rappers do fake stunts like that. And I didn't feel good about that.
You know? Oh, yeah, me either, man. when I saw, like, when people, like, oh, we're going to start some fake just to get views like that, and you find out, oh, man, you a fucking poser. Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Dude, we had to make a role-playing story. It was really bad.
Oh, my God. It was
really bad, and I'm like, nah, I can't do this. I did it because those are my homies, bro. I'm going to work with them. But it was one of those things like, dude, I don't fake that shit. And I told him, we're not doing that shit again. I'm letting you know. Like, I am not doing that shit. I'll get the fuck out of this group if you guys doing this shit. Because I don't fake it. I don't fake it to make it. I make it. Then I fake it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you do it, bro. Because I fake how, you know, it's just whatever, bro. Like, I get mad, bro. I get mad about that shit. But we fake the views and shit like that. Like, faking attention shit. But anyways, we made, dude, we were popping, dude. We were popping. We had our Cockroach record group on stage. We have everybody. Everybody was fucking with us. Dude, people in different schools, like 10 minutes away from our other schools, were bumping my knees like, yo, guys, you guys are the new fucking RBL fucking group. Like the RBL posse. Like we were the next people. We were like, damn, that sounds crazy, dude. And bro, trust me, we were those guys. We were those guys who were gonna make it. But the problem was, I'm not gonna talk about it. All I can say was scheduling problems. That's it. Cause I can't. I talked to the guys before this, or I think the other day, that we shouldn't be talking about it ever. You know, respect their privacies. You know, so I don't want to talk about it that much. But yeah, it just ended from there. It was a really bad ending. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, bro. We were making it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's memories. It's a lesson. You grew out of it. Now you're here. You know, you're doing big things, and who knows how 2024 is going to be for Chucky Chan. And we're at that time. And I just want to say, Chucky, thank you for coming on the Long Beach Social Experiment podcast. Man, you're one of my homies. Every time you're up, we always do chop it up about anything, man. Like making a good friend. You and I know the homie Bozo. Shout out to the homie Bozo. Shouts to the Cockroach Record alumni. Mm-hmm. Shout-outs to the IG people. And do you have any last words or any shout-outs?
I want to say shout-out to my family from Mexicali, Calexico. Shout-out to my friends that always was always promoting me, always never let me down. They always told me to keep going. Shout-out to Spice One. That dude is a real motherfucker. He always told me never stop.
Oh, he's from Modesto.
Yeah. He told me never. He said never stop. He told me to just say keep going, bro. Keep going. I can see you one day, and we can work on some tracks. He told me straight up, and I'm like, damn, bro. That's
okay. Okay.
I'm happy he told me that because that's motivation. And that's an old school rapper that my mom grew up on. You know. So.
Yeah, your parents are fucking cool if they know all this shit.
They respected me, dude. Like I had. I just had a lot of respect for everybody, and I have a lot of respect from others for me because they respect me a lot, and that's basically it, bro. Like a shout out to the retailer girl I reposted the other day, Alexis retailer. Shout out to her. If you want to buy a house, hit her up. Shout out to Bozo. Shout out to Ernie G. Shout out to my dad. Shout out to my mom. Shout out to my brother, especially my brother motivating me to keep going. You know, shout out to everybody. My whole family motivated me. That's it.
That's what's up. That's what's up, Chucky. And I want to give a shout out to Cindy. Shout out to the people on the live. Shout out to my kids. Shout out to the fucking Niners. Rest in peace to Carl Weathers, you know. And you know what, Chucky? We should do a part two, just chopping it up. Let's talk about some conspiracy shit on part two.
Yep. I'm down.